This morning we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. The one verse here has a tremendous amount of things to inform us about when we consider all that is involved in hearing the gospel. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15 simply says this, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing is an essential part of the message of the gospel. We've got to train ourselves to hear in the way that God desires. In fact, this statement, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear," is found in various different passages in the Bible. Jesus says it many times. Matthew 13 verse 9, Mark 4 and verse 9. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, Luke chapter 14, 35, and Revelation 2 and verse 7. This statement is repeated throughout the New Testament. And of course, we're familiar with Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." But what is Jesus talking about when he says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear"? And what does it mean that we need to hear the message of the gospel? Well, that's what I'd like to discuss this morning as we think about hearing in the right way. You know, there's hearing just letting it go in one ear and out the other. And that's not the kind of hearing that we want to do as God's people. Instead, we want to hear the way God wants us to hear. And so let's talk about hearing the Word of God this morning. First of all, we need to hear without prejudice. We all have prejudices of one sort or another because we interpret the world through our own unique experiences. We contextualize familiar stories to our own memories. And when someone comes up and tells us about an experience that they had, we don't duplicate that experience within our own mind. We think about the experiences that we had, and then we put their story into the context of our experiences. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing because it helps us to learn about different places. And when we've been to another place that someone else has been to, we kind of visualize that in our minds, or we kind of put it into a context that we can understand, you know, but we can't duplicate their experience directly. We can only have the experiences that we have. And so anytime we talk to other people, we are filtering everything that they say to us through our own experiences. And that means that we have prejudices. Now, when I'm talking about prejudices, I'm not talking about a particular kind of prejudice. I'm just talking about the way that we look at the world, because we all look at the world in a very unique and different way. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't agree on some things. It doesn't mean that we can't understand one another. It doesn't mean that we can't know what someone else is talking about. We can certainly have all of those things. It just means that we see things through the nature of our own experiences. And those experiences can skew how we hear the Word of God if we're not careful. And see, that's what we have to be mindful of and aware of regarding our own prejudices, that they don't skew or misinform us as to what the message of the gospel is saying. Some people have prejudices that skew their ability to hear the truth. Jesus talked about these people in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 7 through 9 when he said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" And so these individuals were prejudiced against Jesus. They couldn't hear what Jesus was saying because they were filtering what he was saying through their own earthly teachings, through the doctrines of men. And sometimes we do that. We've got to try to be aware of how we are hearing. In Acts chapter 10 and verses 34 through 35, Peter had his eyes open when God went in and touched the Gentiles with the Holy Spirit there. And he said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Peter had been prejudiced by his culture and by their ostracism of the Gentiles. And in doing so, he and the rest of the apostles would not take the gospel to the Gentiles until God made it very clear to them that that was what he wanted them to do. And so prejudices can skew our ability to hear the truth. Even though Jesus had made reference to taking the gospel to the Gentiles in multiple places, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in the beginning of the book of Acts. But yet, the disciples didn't hear what Jesus wanted them to hear because of their prejudices. Sometimes prejudices can be intentional. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, we read, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water." So they willfully forgot. In other words, they intentionally had a prejudice against hearing the truth. And in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." So there's another willful prejudice. Someone who does not love the truth, does not want to hear the truth. And that is another prejudice that people can have against hearing the truth. Sometimes immorality causes us not to be able to hear the truth. In John 3 and verses 19 and 20, there we read, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." And so, evil people practicing evil things prejudice themselves against what is right and good. In Ephesians 4 and verse 18, it says, "They have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." Listen to this. "Because of the blindness," and it should be "of their heart," the blindness of their heart. Their heart was blinded because of the sin that was in their life. And so immorality can prejudice us against hearing the truth. But then the culture can prejudice us against hearing the truth. And that happened in Jesus' day, and it happens in our day as well. In John 5 and verse 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees there, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" In other words, they were more concerned about other people's opinions instead of what God has said. And when that's how we live our life, we are going to be prejudiced against hearing the truth, because we will be more concerned about people's opinions instead of God's opinion. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." John chapter 12 and verse 43. And that's what happens when we love the culture more than we love God. We will be influenced by it, and our hearing will be skewed. Notice also that prejudices can come from the self as well. Self-preservation, self-exaltation, when we are prideful or egotistical, when we are arrogant, that creates problems with hearing the Word of God. In Jeremiah 17, in verses 9 and 10, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah 17 and verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said this in Matthew 16 and verses 24 through 26, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And so self plays a tremendous part in prejudicing us against the truth. Our own desires, our own will, our own stubbornness, our own refusal to listen to God and His Word, even when God's Word is very clear and very plain. Ultimately, the self can interfere with that. And so we need to strip all of these prejudices from our mind if we're going to hear. The prejudices that are introduced through society, the prejudices that we intentionally have, the prejudices that our culture gives, the prejudices introduced by self. We need to reduce all of those things and eliminate them from our lives so we can hear God's Word. Romans chapter 3 and verses 3 through 4 says, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged." And so we need to let God be true. And if there's going to be a liar, it's going to be man that is the liar, not God. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, we read this: "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." In other words, we need to get our prejudices of hearing the truth out of the way so that we can then speak as the oracles of God. And then we will be hearing God in the way that He wants us to hear. And so, he that has ears to hear, let him hear, first of all, without prejudice. But then secondly, he that has ears to hear, let him hear to be obedient. When we think about hearing God's Word, we need to be thinking about hearing it with a view toward obedience. That is, how am I going to practice this? How am I going to implement God's Word in my life? How am I going to follow Jesus Christ and walk with Him each and every day? And that means we must be obedient to the Word of God. When we are not obedient, the Bible says we're not really believing God. We're not really listening to God. In Hebrews 3 and verses 18 and 19, we read, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey." They did not obey. Notice, "so we see that they could not enter because of" what? "Unbelief." You see, disobedience is the same as unbelief. And this thought is also echoed in John 3 and verse 36 in the American Standard Version. "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And so disobedience and disbelief are the same as far as the Bible is concerned. And when we do not hear with a view toward obedience, then we are in essence saying, "I really don't believe, and I really don't want to hear." Many will hear and even respond to a certain degree, but they will not be fully obedient. Consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They claim to hear, they claim to believe, but they did not. They were only practicing lawlessness because they were doing what they wanted to do, not what God had told them to do. In Romans chapter 3 and verse, or Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, notice what the Apostle Paul writes there. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And you remember the story of the wise man and the foolish man, right? In Matthew chapter 7, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And what happened? The foolish man's house was washed away. And why was it? What was Jesus illustrating in that parable? Those who hear the word of God and do it are likened to the wise man. Those who hear the word of God and do not do it are likened to the foolish man. And so we need to hear to obey. Consider 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. They heard the word of God, and then they listened to it and acted on it. And it worked in them because they truly believed it. Think about Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. When Cornelius received Peter, he said, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Cornelius wanted to hear the commandments of God because he wanted to obey the commandments of God. He was hearing with a view toward obedience. And Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 28, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's who is blessed. Not just those who hear, but those who hear with a view toward obedience and then keep the word of God. And so he that has ears to hear, let him hear to be obedient. But then third, he that has ears to hear, let him hear to correct self. You know, we need to hear first with a view towards self. So many times it enters into our minds when someone is preaching or someone is teaching the gospel. Oh, this would be a wonderful sermon for so-and-so over there. Oh, this would be a great lesson for my cousin or my nephew or my relative of whatever sort. And that may very well be the case. I'm not disputing that that wouldn't be true. But how many times do we say, this was a great lesson for me to hear. This was a sermon that I need to apply to my life. You see, that is the first thing that we ought to be thinking about when we hear the word of God. Not about how it might apply to other people, but how it should apply to me first. That's the most important thing. And so we need to hear to correct ourselves first. We need to be using God's word as a mirror, like James says in James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The word of God is like a mirror so that we can see within it our own imperfections and make the changes that we need to make in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." In other words, we're looking into that mirror of the Word of God and we're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see Him and we make changes within our lives, we are being transformed to be more like Him. That is what we need to be doing with the Word of God, with the image of Jesus Christ that we find within the Word of God. That is hearing to correct ourselves. We must not use others to measure ourselves, but rather the Word of God. The Pharisees used other people. They measured themselves by other people and often came away thinking that they were superior, you see. Like in Luke chapter 18 and verse 11, where the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Oh, it's easy to be righteous when you compare yourself to other people. Because guess what? You can always find flaws in other people. You can always say, look at that person over there and how bad he is, and therefore look how great I am, because I don't do that. Look at that preacher. Look at that teacher. Look at that church member. Look at that elder. Look at that deacon. Whoever it might be, you can always find a flaw in another person. But guess what? The standard isn't the preacher. The standard isn't the elders. The standard isn't the deacons. The standard isn't the members. The standard is Jesus Christ. And when we look to Jesus, we're not going to see any flaws. We're only going to see flaws in ourselves. But when we compare ourselves to other people, it's a great mistake because we are not hearing the Word of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Comparing ourselves with other people, measuring ourselves by other people, is a false standard of righteousness. And it is not hearing the Word of God when we do that. We need to hear the Word of God to correct self, not to measure ourselves against others. But then we also need to hear the Word of God to practice self-discipline in response to correcting myself. I must practice self-discipline. I must practice self-control. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verses 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way so that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So we need to practice that self-control, that self-discipline, and bring our bodies into subjection. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." And watch this. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I've got to control my body, and I've got to control my thoughts. That is the essence of self-control. And so we must hear in order to practice self-control. Hear to correct self. He that has ears to hear, let him hear to correct self. He that has ears to hear, finally, let him hear to evangelize others. When our lives are finally in order, when we are doing all the right things, then God says, I want you to go out and evangelize those who are around you. We need to take the gospel to other people. Think about what Jesus says here about how we need to order our lives first before we take the gospel to others, because guess what? If we do it the wrong way, then we're just going to show ourselves to be hypocrites. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So what does that mean? It means that we've got to get our lives in order before we can go to someone else and help them get their lives in order. If our lives are not in order, we're not going to be very effective at helping other people get their lives in order. But then, if we are hearing in the right way, without prejudice, if we are hearing with a view toward obedience, if we are hearing to correct self, and we're doing all of those things, then we can go out and evangelize others. In Matthew chapter 28, in verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Mark chapter 16, and verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so we need to hear with a view toward evangelizing others. And in doing that, we need to be ready to answer those who might ask of us about our faith. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer, give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. In Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so in that regard, we need to be ready to answer others. And how do we do that? We hear the word of God. And then finally, we hear to evangelize. And in evangelizing, we need to sometimes correct those misimpressions that people have. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. In Titus 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And so there is sometimes a need to make correction in that regard. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear without prejudice. Let him hear with a view toward obedience. Let him hear for self-correction. And let him hear to evangelize. There's a lot in that little expression. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you need to hear the gospel this morning in the way that we've been discussing? Without prejudice, with a view toward obedience, for self-correction, and then ultimately to evangelize others? Maybe you need to respond to the message of the gospel today to make that correction in your life. Maybe you need to respond to the message of the gospel today to become obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, doing those things that Jesus said to do, to hear His word and believe it, to repent of your sins and confess Him as Lord, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And perhaps you would like to do that this morning, and we would stand ready to help you. Or maybe you need the prayers of the congregation, and you would like to ask for those prayers so that you can hear the Word of God better than you have in the past. And you can respond to God's gracious message of forgiveness today while together we stand and while we sing.